Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll look at verse 11 and following. 'll look at this particular passage of Paul's as God speaks to you and me about fighting earth's battles with Christ's heavenly character. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. Hear the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and following. But you, man of God, that's Timothy, flee from all this. That's flee the love of money. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. Amen. The Word of God. May He strengthen your hearts with it. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. That's what He says to us in the 12th verse. God speaks through the Apostle Paul to Timothy and the Ephesian believers that have gathered under Timothy's ministry. And God would speak to you this morning as He's preserved this same word for us in history. His word to you this morning, boys and girls, men and women of God, fight the good fight. This is a great message for us as we move into the time of the Olympics. You know, scholar William Hendrickson points out that Paul often compares the Christian life to a contest and frequently compared to a race. And when he's not speaking of the contest as a race, Paul invariably is speaking about a wrestling match or a boxing match or something similar. And here is a text that paints for you a picture of a fight. What is the Christian life? How can we describe it? There's many ways. But here it's described as a fight. And you are to fight this good fight with all that's within you. You know, I used to think that boxing was a relatively new sport. But as I discovered coming to this passage, that boxing has been around for a long time, and it's a great image for us to get into this passage. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, boxing was a sport found in the Mediterranean Sea around 1500 BC. It was used then. The sport was later introduced in the 7th century BC, introduced into the Olympic Games. And then, of course, the wrestlers or the boxers would wrap themselves, their hands and their forearms with like a soft leather to protect themselves. But then the Romans got a hold of boxing and they started putting pieces of metal, you know, in the cloth or the gloves or whatever it was they fashioned around their arms. And so these gladiators would fight until one of them would die. And it's a horrible way to treat human beings, but that's the way it happened. And that's why boxing disappeared. It was so ugly. And it wasn't until like the 1800s that it kind of like revived itself again in a more humane form, if there is such a thing. But fighting is a great way to view what the Christian life is all about. It's a fight, and you are to be a good fighter, to reach for the gold, to fight, to come out on top. You know, it's interesting in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says we don't fight like the world does. The world has its way of fighting, and God has His way. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 and following, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul says we fight by this way, taking captive every thought that doesn't come into conformity to Christ and His kingdom. The fight begins in our mind as we attempt to bring it under the rule of Christ. Boxing is a great analogy as we unfold this passage, because he says, fight the good fight. And you can imagine how a boxer fights. He throws left jabs, right? Maybe a left hook and a right uppercut. And he'll do a little ollie shuffle. You know how what's he do? He says he moves like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Well, it's interesting in verse 11. Look at it. He says, you, O man, and he's just getting done talking about riches and the lust for money. But you, O man of God, flee from all this. You need to do the ollie shuffle when it comes to lusting for money. To move out of the way, because you're going to get hit pretty hard if you're not careful. A friend of mine called me the other day. Yesterday, I believe it was. He and I led a friend of ours from Frostburg to Christ. We led him to Christ 20 years ago. Or maybe longer. And my good friend, the head of Metro Maryland Youth for Christ, he calls and he says, we got to pray for our brother. He's a little mixed up right now. He's been walking with Christ for 20-some years. But he just had a talk the other day and he said, I've decided to put Jesus on hold for about a year or so. He says, I'm going to make $1 million. And so I put God on hold so I could make my million. Then I'll get back. He says, I know it's stupid, but that's where I am and that's what I'm going to do. The Bible says, flee from all this. You need to put the old butterfly shuffle so that you won't be hit. Because if you fight that way, you're going to get hit and get hit hard. If money is at the top of your list. But then he puts the positive spin on things in verse 11. Having said flee all this, he says pursue a number of things. Here's how you fight. Do you see it? He says seek godliness and righteousness. A left hook of godliness, a right hook of righteousness. That's how you fight. Matthew 6 put it similarly. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added to you. We pursue righteousness and godliness. That's the method we're to use. What does that mean? To pursue, to fight by pursuing righteousness. One writer puts it this way. He says, righteousness is your obedience to God's laws. You're fulfilling your God-given duties and being faithful to your conscience. In a word, integrity. That's how we fight. Pursuing what's right. In the midst of it all, we always are trying to do what's right. It's a marvelous passage in Philippians 4. You recall it? It tells you how to put your mind right. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think of these things. And Paul adds, and put them into practice. The things you've seen in me, put them into practice. And so we fight by getting our minds thinking about lovely, right things and then putting them in practice. That's how we are to go about boxing as we live out the Christian life. He adds, notice also in verse 11, as you pursue the right method, to pursue love. Seek to love those around you. I love that concept of get them in the, is it the clinches? You know, the guys get so tired of boxing along. This is good for you who are married. All right. You know, you're having a disagreement. So what are they doing in the boxing ring? Okay? You get tired. One guy's so tired, he just kind of like puts his arms around the other guy and he hangs on him, you know? What you need to do is whenever the next time you're fighting with your spouse or fighting in the family, just like drape your arms over them. Just give them a nice boxing hug. Only one that comes from your heart. And you decide you're not going to fight this way with your fist. You're going to just like give them a nice little hug and surprise them right in the middle of the action. When they're expecting a left jab, a right hook, you give them a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Love. He says, pursue love. That's how we're to win. You know, when Christ conquered your heart, how did He do it? When mankind fell into sin, how did He do it? How did God win back the human race? How does He go about reconciling us to Himself? For God so loves the world that He gave His one and only Son. In the midst when we're disinterested in God, rebellious, we sought our own way, God does the very thing that catches us by surprise. He sends His Son while we're sinners. We're not seeking Him. He seeks us as an act of love and catches us by surprise. And it touches our heart. He did this for me. You see, and we need to pursue that kind of love in our fights with one another and in the people with the people around us to give them the very thing they need the most and the very thing that we find so hard to give often, because the people around us are much like us. We're often very unlovable. Fight by pursuing love. That old-fashioned slogan is still true. Kill them with kindness. It's a great set of gloves to put on. And he says, fight by pursuing faith. You see that also in verse 11. Fight the good fight by pursuing faith. What does he mean? He means you fight your earth battles by not trusting yourself, but you trust the energy and the power of God in the midst of the battle. It's interesting what Hebrews 11 says. The walls of Jericho, how did they fall? As those people, those foolish-looking people, marched around blowing trumpets around the city. Hebrews 11 says two words. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. No other way, it was by faith. And it says in this section, when the people of Israel were escaping from Egypt, they walked through the dry land. The Red Sea, there it is, right? They passed right through this tremendous sea, ocean of sea, but they didn't drown. How was it they were able to pass through that safely? That's right, two words. He's uttering them here. By faith, they passed through. And what's especially interesting is other people were walking the same place, the same path you were walking, or I should say they were walking. Here you've got the Israelites, they're walking along this path, and water's all around them. They have the Egyptians, they're walking or riding. It says the Egyptians drowned. Both walking in the same world, on the same space, in the same time, one drowns, and the other gets through safely. Why? Because one was fighting by faith. They were walking or in the middle of that battle by faith. And the other was fighting in their own ability, in their own strength, and their own powers. And they drowned. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. You see, if we're going to fight earth battles, we have to fight with a little heavenly character, if you will. Christ lived His life on earth with faith, and so are we to do the same. Moreover, we have the promises of God. You know, some of you face some pretty tough battles, but you have God's promises. And what you need to do is to get a hold of one and just tuck it away in your heart and say, I'm not going to let go of it. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's what he says to the disciples as he sent them out into the world. Go make disciples, teach them all that I've commanded you. And remember, I'll be with you to the very end of the world. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever angle of the fight that you're in or whatever part of it that you're in, remember the strength of Christ is yours for the taking. But it's a matter of fighting by confidence in Christ and not by being overcome by whatever circumstance faces you. And notice he says, pursue not only faith but endurance. Do you see it? King James translates it, patience. I think it is better. The endurance is NIV, better fits the context here. But patience is the idea of showing stamina. If you're going to endure, you have to persist. You have to persevere. You've got to be steadfast. Somebody said, an oak tree and an acorn are just the same thing. Essentially, you know, the giant oak tree is nothing more than a small acorn that held its ground year after year. And that's what we're called to do. How long does God call you to hold your ground? How long does He call you to live with godly character in this broken battlefield we call earth? How long do you have to fight God's way? Is it one round, 3 rounds, 10 rounds? Look at what he says in verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life, which we claim to have. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. You see, when Timothy became a believer, this reference is probably a reference to his baptism, when he made a confession of faith in Christ, he was called to eternal life. He was called to something lovely in heaven. And it was at that moment when he was called to begin to change his life. You see, you got a new heart when you trust Christ as Savior. When you confess Christ as Savior, you have a new heart. And He calls us to begin to show a new changed life. And your battle begins of fighting with His new character the day you trust Christ as Savior. And it won't end. Your battle will not end here on earth. Now, some people are getting money together and trying to find a nice little comfortable corner, retirement or something, so they can kind of like, you know, be back in the corner. The boxing match is still going on. You're supposed to be fighting well, not sitting back here, you know, in the corner, taking a 10-round break. But we fight from the time we trust Christ until the Lord returns. Do you see it in verse 13? Look at what God says. Verse 13, He says to Timothy, and to you by implication, I charge you, before God, before Christ, to keep this command without spot. You're to have a godly character without spot or blame until, here it is, the approaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God will bring the return of Christ. He's coming. But until He comes, just like we celebrate the communion every month, until He returns, reminding us of His coming, we continue to be called to live every day with Christian character and integrity and fight this way until He returns. And why does He want you to fight your battle that way? Why doesn't He want you to be mean and to give up? And to why does He want you not to have a negative spirit in your fights and to do things you regret? Because verse 15 and 16 says that God's honor and God's power is at stake. You see, look in verse 16. He says, to Him be honor and might. That is, as we see in verse 15, we serve the King of Kings. You serve the Lord of Lords. Do you see how He's described there? You serve the One who alone is immortal. The One who has a glorious, unapproachable presence. No one can enter the presence of God. He's so glorious. And I can't begin to describe it here. But But the Bible says he has an immortal, unapproachable light in whom no one can see. And you are, by His grace, connected to Him. You're connected to the glory of God. And He wants His glory and His power to be seen in you. He doesn't want us to be living a life that we look back and we say, I wasted it. He doesn't want to be, at the end of the day, you look back and you say, oh man, I live for myself. He wants you to say, when you put your head down, I'm like, Lord, hey, I did my best. I went for the gold. It wasn't easy. But I tried to live for You and do what was right based upon what You've shown me. Well, I'd like to close by reading something that it's a quotation from Mother Teresa. I know not what you think of her, but I know this is a great quotation. You know, at times we're tired and we don't want to fight by being loving. We don't want to fight. We want to like cheat a little bit because it's easier. We want to cut corners and integrity because we think that it's going to work better. And sometimes people are just around us are just unlovable and aren't worthy of us acting the way we should. We want to just be tired and not fight the way we should. We're worn out. But hear these words. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Fighting earth's battles with Christ's heavenly character. Fighting earth's battles with Christ's heavenly character is not about you and the world. It's not about you and the things you're fighting. It's about you and your relationship with Christ. You claim to have a relationship with Christ. He died on the cross for our sin. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new character, which is ours in heaven. Let it shine through you with glory. Fight your earthly battles with Christ's heavenly glory, with His character. Will you do it? That's your call before God. Let us pray. Lord, we hear the call. We hear the charge from the day of our conversion till Christ's return to fight these battles here on earth with Your heavenly character. Help us to touch into the grace that's within us so that we can fight well until we share in the gold which You have won for us at the cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.